Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We have a full crew here in the studio today. To my left, as you can plainly see, is Single Scott. And, of course, across from me, as usual, Bill the Engineer. And Jimmy the Helper Boy and CJ, both.
What the?
It's a room full of men.
Yes, it's the two-headed monster known as CJ and Jimmy the Helper Boy.
Where are the mermaids?
They're not here. There's five guys in the studio.
That's what
today.
I say. When you've got a studio full of men, nothing better than a, it's a party.
Sausage radio.
Safety sausage is what he's referring to,
of course.
That's
what I meant.
Which is a...
sword fight!
A safety device that you definitely need to have with you.
I mean swordfish.
Always carry it.
Yes. Matter of fact, Mermaid Angela... is going to come into the studio next week, and we're going to talk about getting her a safety sausage.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
She doesn't have one?
No, she doesn't have one. So she asked me about them. She said, what kind of safety sausage do I need? Because I told her, I said, you're going on our Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise.
Very long and easy to carry.
Well, yeah, you want one that's long and can be seen from far distances. And when we're in Saba for our liveaboard adventure, leaving on February 28th, Single Scott is going to be on that trip.
Yeah. I'm going, yep.
Yeah, and Mermaid Angela is coming along. It'll be her first liveaboard dive adventure. Okay. But she doesn't have a safety sausage. So next week, she's going to come on.
You could bring mine. Of course, I always travel with my safety sausage.
You're going to give her your safety sausage to use on the trip, is what you're saying?
Only if she asks nicely.
I don't know if you, I think she should have her own. I mean, you don't want to take a loner safety sausage because that's something you should have with you at all times. I mean,
she can have mine with me.
I can't imagine separating with my safety sausage for my next dive trip.
If it was detachable?
I'm not going to dive without it. That's how I feel.
I always have one in my wallet.
That's right. It fits in your wallet? Really?
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, that would be one that,
never mind.
Yeah.
That's something to cover your safety sausage, to make your safety sausage even safer.
Safe.
Is there such a thing? I'm not so sure. But really, I don't think you should dive without a safety sausage.
Completely seriously, all kidding aside, I would not dive with Greg without a safety sausage. The first time I had to actually use my safety sausage was on a liveaboard dive where my dive buddy was Greg the Dive Master.
I don't remember this.
And Captain,
what are you talking
Cocktail.
About? Wait. So this was on the liveaboard in the Bahamas you're talking about.
My first liveaboard ever.
Yeah, but I wasn't with you.
When the two of you... No, the two of you were my dive buddies. We're a three-team team.
My buddy was Jeff.
And here's what happened.
You weren't my buddy. I didn't even consider you a friend at that point.
Jeff says... The current's kind of strong. Everybody else is jumping off the back of the boat and pulling themselves along the granny line to get to the front of the boat. But Jeff, because he's an expert diver, says, let's just jump in here off the back and swim under the boat. So I got in the water, got down to about 10 feet, and could not equalize at all. I finally come to the surface a quarter of a mile behind the boat. There was some current, it turns out. And everybody else is swimming around in front, and I am... within waving distance where I can see the boat if the boat were to wave, but they can't see me if I wave in the water. Well, they eventually noticed my safety sausage.
Let me just say, for the record, I didn't care. No,
it didn't interrupt your dive at all, did it?
No, I didn't consider you I didn't consider us buddies.
You know what? At that point. It turns out that feeling was reciprocal, because I didn't consider you much of a buddy either.
At least after that.
Yeah.
With Greg, you really want to dive with at least two or more safety shots.
or a lanyard. Maybe
yes.
Maybe that would have been a better situation.
Flares.
We would have had on you a little cord.
It was a thing of beauty.
Tow Bill the producer along for the dive. But no, a safety sausage is a piece of equipment that you should not dive without, period. That's how I feel about it. And it is one of those things you should have stuck in your BC pocket, as well as a whistle, I believe, is standard equipment. And then hopefully you'll never have to use it. You'll never have to unroll it and blow it up, even though, by the way, just for maintenance purposes, it's always good to do that once a year or so to make sure you don't have any leaks.
Clearly, he's
leaks.
Married.
What?
Nothing. Should roll that out once a year, whether you need it or not.
Is that use it or lose it?
Well, it is. Well, it's just about maintaining your equipment and safety sausages. You know, if they're stuck inside your BC pocket for years on end, and they'll, you know, after it's being dunked in the freshwater rinse after a saltwater dive, time and time again, they'll fade and the
get some dry rot, lose some seam. Yeah,
exactly, and then they can start leaking, and God knows you don't want to be out on the ocean, you know, fulfilling your real life adventure as open water, and then realize that your safety sausage won't blow up when you blow into it.
Well, Greg, what about Kelly the bikini model?
Kelly the swimsuit model, we went manatee snorkeling last week. And I'm not so sure she had a sausage with her.
No, she had a mirror, a signaling mirror. I think it was a signaling mirror, and about 300 pounds of makeup in a bag.
Yeah, That you could call that a safety device. You know, the mirror she had, because you can use that as a signaling device as well. But in her case, it was just a makeup kit. So
she was signaling herself.
Yeah, exactly. Little did she know she actually had a piece of dive safety equipment in her possession at the time. But, a mirror is another little device. I don't really like those as much because I don't like carrying around hard and heavy things like that in my BC. Because they can break in travel is what I'm saying.
I understand.
You could get hurt.
Or you cut yourself, God forbid.
Or get 7 years bad luck.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Okay.
That's a line of... I didn't think that was going to end quite so abruptly. I'm sorry.
That was just a dramatic pause.
There's an art to just letting somebody die. And I think we just all demonstrated that. That was more art than science, really.
Yeah.
We could have jumped in there and saved him, but nah. It's more fun to just watch him go.
Just for the record, there's not one person in this room today I consider a buddy. Just want to get that out there.
Good luck getting these books back.
So, you got mirrors that could be used as safety devices, as in Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, a safety sausage whistle. Those are the three
devices. Did you
think
anybody would let her drown?
Who, Kelly?
That they wait in line to swim next to her.
Even the manatees.
Everyone was like, oh, look, let's make sure she doesn't drown.
There was a guy taking photos of the manatees who was so engrossed that we actually stood right next to him shouting his name for 5 minutes and he didn't hear us. But as soon as he saw Kelly, he forgot he was shooting manatees.
And she said he thought, or she thought he was gross too.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know. It was, we got to talk about that. You know, we did our full show. It was Manatee Mania last week on the big show. And,
great time, by the way. Thank you very much for bringing me along. Although I give you a hard time about taking me to cold water events and not warm water events, it was still super cool, and I really enjoyed it. And especially thanks to the folks at Birds Underwater.
Absolutely. And when I thought about sea cows and cold water, the first person I wanted to invite was Bill, the producer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So he fit in quite nicely, and we did have quite an adventure last week. And go back and listen online to the archive and catch up with the rest of the class if you didn't catch Manatee Mania here on Scuba Radio. But we literally broadcast from one of the pontoon vessels of Birds Underwater.
Yeah, it was the Bird Droppings 1.
Yeah, Bird Droppings, nice. Yeah, and they did a spectacular job. And we had quite the manatee encounter. I got a few pictures up there at scubaradio.com, just a, I don't know, like five or six at the moment. But if you go into My Images at scubaradio.com and do a search on manatee, they will pop up there for you. You can take a look at what we got.
And I really think those are great pictures, Greg. I was surprised with how clear they came out because I thought visibility was a little thin. I mean, you don't need great visibility when you're standing in water that comes up to your waist and there's a an 800-pound animal within arm's length of you. You don't need great visibility, but you need it for great pictures, and I think you did a great job
with
the photos that are up there.
Yeah, and you know why the viz was down, right? It was because there were so many manatees in the water. Whether that was manatee poo or the fact that they were stirring up the bottom by swimming around, because there were literally hundreds of manatees in the Crystal River area where we were snorkeling with them last week. And that's what they do. There's so many of them, they stir up the bottom, and it kind of creates a little muck kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. But, underwater video and digital cameras, they are somewhat forgiving if you get within, I'd say, once you get past about 10 feet or so, it starts to pick up the particulate in the water and causes your camera to get out of focus if you have it set on autofocus. But if you're able to get within 10 feet of the manatee or your subject, which we're swimming right next to them. They're swimming up to us, up to the camera. You can get some pretty cool shots.
Within 10 feet, I think you get pulled in by the gravitational force of a manatee, actually.
Good point. Yeah, I got, I had a very special experience.
Yeah.
I had a couple of them that have
some new friends.
I don't know if it was a couple or it was one particular amorous manatee that I would be filming, and he'd swim right, well, he, she. I'm going to say she. And I'd be filming, and the manatee would swim right up between my legs. Like, so I'm filming, and I'm turning the camera down towards my fins, and I'm like, hey, she's not stopping. Hello? Oh, yeah, Papa likes. I don't know if I was filming manatee porn or what, but I think the manatee was rubbing its snout on the side of my leg.
Okay.
And I'm saying side of my leg for political reasons.
Did it think perhaps you were a tree and that was a particularly ugly notch in the tree that it could scratch itself against?
It's been compared to that before. I don't know. But if it was good for the manatee, it was good for me. I just went with it. And let the chips fall where they may.
You and you darned products of the 60s, you. Do whatever feels right. That's what's good for you, huh?
Love the one you're with, as they say. And at that particular time, it was a 2-ton manatee.
How nice.
Yeah, but it is definitely something that, Bill, now that you've done this, you would highly recommend it to anyone listening right now, right?
Absolutely. There's no question that is something which everyone who has the opportunity to spend some time in the water in the wintertime in Florida should go and swim with some manatees at Crystal River.
And if that weren't enough, we've got plenty more alternatives for you to consider. Scuba Radio, Scuba Cruise announcements coming up next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master, Bill, the producer. We have Single Scott in here with us today as well, singlescott.com. He's going to join us on our liveaboard adventure February 28th in Saba. I believe there are a couple spots left. If you got one last-minute dive adventure you will not forget anytime soon, make sure you call up Explore Ventures. Get their number, exploreventures.com, right there. And tell them you went on that scuba radio trip with us. And you can join Single Scott, Mermaid Angela, and myself, along with a few other folks on the vessel, as we cruise from St. Martin to St. Kitts, and in the on the way we'll stop off and dive off the coast of Saba as well as Astatia. And I'm telling you, I did this this is where I met Single Scott, actually.
It was, yes.
And
when I was living on the boat.
Yeah.
How romantic.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thanks, Bill. But it is a romantic setting, but that isn't what happened. It was just he was hanging out. And but you had been on the boat for like a month or something, right?
Yep. I like that itinerary. I mean, it's gorgeous diving. It's always good. Weather's always good.
But he's on a, you know, it's a week long liveaboard, but he says, well, I'll go another week and then I'll go another week. Next thing you know, he's on there for a month. And I think we were at the last week of his month trek. So he looked quite salty, you know, like,
oh, thanks.
I mean that in a good way. You look like one of the crew. You're just kicking back and you knew which dives you wanted to do for the week and the whole thing.
Tell us the story about your first kiss.
Hey, now.
I mean, some of the listeners haven't heard it. We've heard it, but
I don't.
It bears repeating.
There's some things that we want to keep to ourselves.
Okay. I've been on the boat for a month. Okay.
Mermaids were starting to look like manatees.
Anything with two legs, I think, is no. No, it didn't want to happen.
Yeah.
But no, it was a great trip and a cool itinerary because unlike some of the other liveaboard trips that we've done in the past, or maybe you listening have encountered in other places in the world. This is a lot different in that you do have literally four different islands that you visit or you dive right off of their coast. Now, Saba and Statia are very, Saba's kind of developed in a certain sense, but it's kind of like small little neighboring mountain towns that are quite unique, you know, compared to what we're used to, especially in the States. But the nice thing is that when you go from island to island, we dive off their coast and experience the underwater attractions that they have right there off of Statia and Saba and even St. Kitts.
And you can get off the boat and do a tour on each island.
Yeah, it, that's what really makes it stand out as a unique adventure because getting to see these different places of the world. I mean, I'm telling you, I was really impressed by Saba going up on the mountain. I mean, it's a volcanic rock that just protrudes up out of the ocean from
you drive up the road that couldn't be built, the windy road to
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, it's like the yellow brick road or something. I mean, and you go to the top of the, you feel like you're on the top of the world because you are. I mean, you're up on this big cliff type town,
volcano.
Yep, and it is impressive, and the people are cool, and it's really neat just to go up there, hang out, you know, in the afternoon, have a drink, enjoy the scenery, yeah, and just off gas. You know, that's what you're doing on your surface interval. So that's what sets this itinerary apart from, you know, going to be on a liveaboard for an entire week. So, because that turns people away sometimes. You know, if you haven't been on a liveaboard boat before, and I remember, you know, CJ was worried about this when we went on the Turks and Caicos liveaboard.
What?
With Explorer. You know, you were thinking, oh, man, a whole week on the boat? You kind of had that question.
I loved it.
Well, you did, but before you went, you didn't know what to expect. And you're like, will I be a little bored, you know, being on a boat for
a
whole
bored?
Week?
We had some liquor, and we had a lot of interesting characters.
Yes.
Scott being one of them.
We came up with, you know, unique things to do with your snorkel in the evening hours.
Yes.
After your day of diving.
Oh, I forgot about the snorkel shots.
Yeah, the snorkel shots were always fun. But what I'm saying, before you booked that trip, CJ, you did have that, you know, they had that question in the back of your mind, and I think it's fairly typical for people who've never done it and have never been on a boat for an extended period, especially if they have any concerns about being seasick.
Well, you know what they say, time flies when you're having fun, and what better fun is there than diving for a week straight?
Well, exactly. But if you go on this trip with us, you don't even have to worry about that because you know you're going to be able to get off the boat periodically throughout the week and not be
a love aboard.
A love aboard? Is that what it was? Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about his first kiss next.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
started producing scuba radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for scuba radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Engineer, Single Scott, singlescott.com. Check out his website. Maybe he'll take you on one of his next adventures if you fit the proper criteria, which is young, hot, and what? Single?
And singles, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young, hot, and single. Female, by the way. We like them like that. Now, look, we're planning... our next dive adventure. We already mentioned the Saba trip. Now, we have just put together three more scuba radio scuba cruises for 2009. Now, the dates are being posted. I'll share them with you here in just a bit, but they will be at scubaradio.com under the latest news category. And you can make sure you check that out and can join us. But I'll tell you, we're planning to do... one of the trips from the Bahamas, you fly into Georgetown, Bahamas, and we're going to cruise the Exuma chain. Did that one with Mermaid Abby last year. And Lowell and the crew there on the Caribbean Explorer were fantastic. And that was just an awesome, awesome trip. Now, and it's different, though, than what we did in Saba. Like I said, on the Saba trip, you go and you... stop off at the different islands, and you have the option to go on shore and tour the island and do a lot of sightseeing topside. Now, when you go into Georgetown, you literally get on the boat in Georgetown, and pretty much, with the exception of stopping off at one of the islands, which is basically an uninhabited nature reserve type area, you don't really go off and go off the boat. You're on the boat for the entire week, but you're out in the middle of nowhere. Which is cool, especially in the evening for me. I love just sitting out on the bow of the vessel and doing a little sightseeing, a little stargazing, kicking back with a rum and coke. It just doesn't get much more relaxing than that. So we got that one planned out of Georgetown with our friends from Explorer Ventures, and you can join us for that trip. That will be July 18th for Georgetown Exuma. But we're not waiting that long before our next one after the one to Saba. I'll share with the the rest of the itineraries next.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. The world's first radio show devoted to diving. Scuba
Radio. Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, my name is Alexa from South Wales.
Well, okay.
If you like going down like me, then here's the man to see. Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio. The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Every time I get high, you want to go.
Yeah, well, that's what our show is all about, is getting down underwater, just to clarify.
I got to tell you, it's a great studio full of guys. It's like watching the Night at the Roxbury as the music's playing, and the four of you are sitting there across the studio from me.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Riveting.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, this is lovely.
All right.
Best thing ever.
Anyone?
Yeah, whatever. Now, I talked about our schedule for Scuba Radio Scuba Cruises with Explore Ventures, by the way, the official live aboard company of Scuba Radio once again for 2009. And we have just released the official schedule. We're literally, we're going out on four trips.
Get a pencil and write these down.
Exactly, for the entire year. So pretty much once a quarter thereabouts, we're going to head out for a week with Explore Ventures, and you're welcome to come along for the ride, obviously based on availability. Some of them are a little bit more filled up than others, but if you call them and book your trip now, you might be able to join us for any one of these truly spectacular trips. Now, they are cool trips in their own right. Whether we're on board or not, any of these itineraries I'm about to go over are impressive dive adventures. Now, when you throw in our little song and dance routine to the nighttime entertainment, I mean, obviously we broadcast our show, so you have the opportunity to join us on a special edition of Scuba Radio from the live aboard boat. But, you know, we have Mermaid Angela coming along for the one in Saba, and we'll probably bring a couple other mermaids along for some of the other trips, and Single Scott, and regular cast of characters in that regard. But I will tell you, we're working on some special demo weeks where we have some of our friends and sponsors of Scuba Radio. They're going to supply some equipment for everybody on board to try out.
Like new safety sausages?
Maybe. You never can have too many new
cameras.
Yeah, we're talking about some camera equipment. I can't go into specifics just yet, but I will tell you they will be impressive, and there's a good chance that not only will you be able to use some of these things during the week, you might actually take one home. So I tell you that.
Depends on how good you keep track of them.
How well when you borrow them from us and you forget to give them back, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, part of the deal is we may actually, you know, give it to the people. Yeah, we may have a little contest. You know, our typical shenanigans. It's a payoff, okay? It's a payoff for putting up with our crap during the week. We usually take care of everybody else on the boat quite well.
And so, it's everybody on the boat, too. It's not just the people that came, you know, to see Scuba Radio. It's the people that were dumbfounded by their appearance on the boat.
Way to sell
with
it, Greg.
Yep.
Well, can I just suggest something? Instead of putting up with our crap, you might want to go with something closer to a unique, one-of-a-kind experience, a look behind the scenes of your favorite radio show.
No, that's...
See what makes everything tick, see how we get it done, meet the people.
No, because the only people that are going to be there will be Greg.
Yeah, good point.
But it's better than, you know, putting up with our crap. Do I sign up?
It's not putting up with our crap as much as it all the free stuff we throw into the mix. So there's definitely an added value to having us on board, trust me. Because I wish I was just a listener and I could go on some of our trips and benefit from all the free crap we give everybody.
So sometimes you wish that you were a listener and could pay to come on one of our trips with us and get the stuff for free that you take for free anyway.
I would like the trip for free, but I'd like to get the free stuff for myself instead of hand it out to everyone.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
This is the Rangiroa Atoll, 200 miles northeast of Tahiti. We're here in the most shark-infested waters on Earth to help these fatties lose weight with Swim Fast, because nothing burns fat like swimming for your life. The chum should be attracting...
Sharks!
I've changed my mind. This is insane.
Get in the drink! Charles from St. Louis will be our first Swim Fast success.
Swim Fast!
That's it! Feel the burn! Well, Chuck's not going to be fat anymore.
He's ground Chuck now.
And he has lost a lot of weight. Lose weight or die trying. with Swim Fast.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
You didn't go cheap when you purchased your dive equipment and photo gear, so don't make that mistake when it comes to protecting your investment. Ask for Storm Case by name at your local dive center. These high-performance waterproof art cases come in just about every size and shape imaginable. Storm Cases are stronger, lighter, more secure, and feature pain-free press-and-pull latches that are twice as strong as the knuckle-buster designs of their competitors. Don't settle for anything less. Go to StormCase.com and ask for Storm Case by name at your local dive center.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 81. Sure, fish smell, but you would too if you had to swim around in your own urine day after day.
Oh, gnarly!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
Yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Jeff Myers, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. Hey, Jeff, you ever play the kids' game Marco Polo?
Sure, though. It's been a while. Why?
I was teaching a class the other day, and we were discussing what happens when you get separated from your buddy. One of the students joked that you should just start an underwater version of Marco Polo.
Quite the approach.
Good for a laugh, but not really the best way to search for a missing diver. I thought maybe we should talk about that today.
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Let's start with something simple. Whatever the reason, you and your buddy get separated on a dive.
That is something you and your buddy should have discussed before you entered the water. You should have a plan in place that in the event you're separated during the dive, you know what steps you'll take to reconnect.
Such as?
Such as agreeing that if separated, you'll immediately go to a designated point to rendezvous. Maybe it's an anchor line or a scent line, or maybe it's at some other landmark you know will be on the dive. Another plan often agreed upon is that when you realize you've lost contact, search for one another for 1 minute, and then ascend and reconnect on the surface.
But the important thing is to know what you'll do and follow the plan, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens if you follow your reconnection plan, but you still can't find your buddy?
Well, then you're dealing with a missing diver. Immediately notify anybody nearby, either on the boat or on shore, that you've got a missing diver in the water. You should not undertake a search by yourself without a plan and support in place.
Since there's always the possibility of a missing diver having some kind of trouble, I'm guessing it's better to treat the matter as urgent?
Urgent, yes. Panic, no. Start by marking the spot where you came up with a marker buoy, and if you have immobile objects around you, like a tree or building on shore, use them as reference points. Next, see if anyone can spot the missing diver's bubbles. If they can be spotted, it helps target the missing diver's location and where to start to look for them.
Assuming they have bubbles to spot.
True. If the diver is using a rebreather, this is obviously not going to be a helpful step.
And if the bubbles are spotted?
Send a diver to check them out. Meanwhile, you should be providing the support team with as much information as possible. What the plan profile was, what direction you intended to swim, what happened on the dive, at what point you became separated, a description of your buddy's gear, anything that can prove useful in the search.
You can even be doing that while you're looking for bubbles, can't you?
Absolutely. And when you're looking for those bubbles, be sure to look in every direction, not just where you think the missing diver should be. Oftentimes, the separation is the result of a diver simply getting disoriented or lost.
What about enlisting the help of others?
The more the merrier. If you're on a boat, contact other boats in the area to see if the diver mistakenly boarded the wrong vessel, and if not, enlist their help. If you're on shore, have others scanning the water and checking the surrounding areas. Believe it or not, sometimes the missing diver has simply gotten out of the water and returned to camp or their car.
And if that doesn't help?
It's likely time to start the underwater search. Searches should be conducted in teams, both for the safety of the searchers and to have extra resources should a rescue be involved. Search teams should not enter the water without a solid plan in place. The plan should include an agreed-upon search area, search patterns to be used, and time limits. If there are enough divers available, organize standby dive teams to pick up where the first team leaves off or to lend additional assistance if it becomes necessary.
What about other divers in the water?
If they are part of your group, you may want to institute a recall to regroup and reorganize everyone back on the boat or on shore. They may be able to lend assistance in providing information about what was happening underwater or, profiles permitting, it may be able to join the search. It's also possible that the missing diver will surface upon the recall, as a recall itself may be all he or she needs to find their way back.
What procedures should the search teams follow?
They should always stay together, and they should never deviate from the plan they put in place. At no time should the searchers put themselves in danger while looking for a missing diver. Generally, the marked spot is used as a starting point, and the search expands in an agreed-upon direction from there. What search pattern is used depends upon the topography of the dive site, the conditions, and the visibility. But the most commonly used patterns include the U-pattern search, expanding squares, and circular search patterns. If the dive is being done in a specific or concentrated area, like a wreck, for example, you may simply have several dive teams doing random searches, but more often than not, a more formal search is used.
Hopefully, at some point in all this, the missing diver will be found. But if the unfortunate occurs, and he's not?
It's time to call in the authorities. In fact, you can call them at any point in the search. If you feel like you need additional assistance, don't hesitate to call for it. When you're looking for a missing diver, you know you're working against the clock, so use whatever resources you have available to you.
And hopefully it'll all come out right.
In most cases it does. Most missing divers are usually just buddy teams that got separated for one reason or another. Sometimes it's preventable, sometimes not, which is why it's crucial to communicate with one another before you enter the water and stick to the plan you create.
And as for Marco Polo...
Let's leave that to the kids.
The search for a missing diver is something that should be undertaken quickly, but with a plan. Use whatever tools you have handy to help in the search, and don't be afraid to ask for help. But do your best to avoid going missing in the first place. Know the plan you and your buddy are to follow, and stick to it. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Now, it just so happens that we are working with our friends at Divers Alert Network to have them come along for one of our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruises in 2009. So, we'll see how that unfolds, but whether it's, you know, Mermaid or it's Abby.
I was going to say, do we know anyone at Dan?
We know Abby.
Yeah, we do.
But actually, I don't think it'll be her.
Oh. You think that if push comes to shove at Duke University and it goes out on as a general request, does anyone want to go on a liveaboard dive trip for 7 days?
With Scuba Radio.
With Scuba Radio, that there's a chance that Abby, whose tenure is now all the way up to 3 months, may not be the one that gets to choose to go?
Yeah, I don't think she's high enough on the food chain just yet. That's quite a responsibility. Or
to represent Dan on a dive trip?
No, to survive.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can look at it either way. They'll send someone that they are willing to sacrifice, or they'll send somebody.
That's not Abby?
I will have to wait and see. But we're talking to them about having them join us, possibly on one of our liveaboard trips. I believe it's going to be the one in September, though. So here's the deal.
There's some people in marketing that I know have expressed some interest.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, we got four scheduled. We mentioned Saba, February 28th. That's coming up here in about a month. Last minute chance to join us on that if you'd like. However, we have one in the Turks and Caicos with CJ has been on. He was on that boat with us last year. We're doing that again. May 16th is the plan, a Saturday, which happens to be my birthday.
Somebody's birthday?
Yep. So I'm celebrating my birthday.
53 years.
At sea.
53 years old.
Hold on now. I'm not 53. I won't be 53.
Well, you look 53, 54. So I figured you were.
Oh, you guys.
Liars! This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Magazine in Japan. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
And yes, this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. The world's first radio show, I should emphasize, being, you know, there we met Tammy from Japan. That was from our trip in Australia.
Hey, is English her first language?
Of course it is. Why, okay. why wouldn't you think?
Just wondering.
Very nice lady. Diver Magazine. It's interesting to look at a dive magazine that's written in Japanese. I got to tell you, Diver Magazine that she works for is a massive publication. I mean, it is a big publication. I mean, and you
there's
can thumb 20, through it.
There's 127 million people crammed onto an island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. They would take to the sea.
Right. But but what I was saying is that it's interesting to thumb through a magazine like that because you don't even have to read the words, and you know what the article's about because, you know, they got pictures just like they would in destinations.
So it's just like reading in English for you.
Well, when you just look at the pictures, yeah. It's like thumbing through Playboy, okay, for a diver. Okay, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. But the point is that we are one, okay?
That, we are the world.
Yes, we are one as divers, and we are connected because divers. Of this. And I do feel that way about Tammy.
You are one with Tammy?
She was nice. All right, so let's talk about these liveaboard trip schedules. We mentioned Saba 28th, my birthday May 16th. We're going to the Turks and Caicos with Explorer Ventures. You fly into Provo, and then you spend a week on the Caribbean Explorer 2.
That's a good trip, too, yeah.
Turks and Caicos Explorer. An incredible vessel in its own right. Largest liveaboard vessel, I believe, in the Caribbean. Like 130 foot
plus.
Oh, it's
plus. Beautiful.
Massive vessel and just really awesome diving. So we have that on my birthday, May 16th, Saturday to Saturday. And so that'll be a special blowout in its own right. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, you get to meet all of Greg the Dive Master's family because they'll be coming with us celebrate that family event, his birthday.
No, this is my birthday to myself that I get away from everyone.
Maybe it's a gift you're giving your family.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's a matter of perspective. All right, then on July 18th, we're going to go into Georgetown, fly into Georgetown, Bahama, which is the Exuma chain of the Bahamas, and we're going out of there for a week, and that's a spectacular trip, San Salvador and those type of islands there in the Exuma chain. And then September 26th, it's the Wild Dolphin trip in the Bahamas out of Freeport. So any one of those four trips, I'm telling you, they will be a trip you will never forget. And all you have to do is call Explorer Ventures, exploreventures.com. Go there, get the number, book it today. You got February, May, July, September. Take your pick. Just tell them you want on one of the scuba radio trips. Hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.